1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. Anticipation for the release of the hostages Hamas seized when it launched its attack on Israel almost 2 months ago. ABC's Liz Landers.
Israeli officials announcing that a ceasefire began this morning. Qatari officials expect the first hostages to be released a few hours later. The initial group released by Hamas will be 13 women and children in exchange for Palestinian prisoners. The deal will last 4 days. The deal also includes passage for humanitarian aid trucks.
It's Black Friday, and police are trying to crack down on organized retail theft this holiday season. ABC's Alex Stone reports.
It's become an epidemic nationwide. Organized retail theft, stealing from big box and department stores, with a group grabbing what they can and running out before police can arrive. Just this week, the California Highway Patrol arrested a couple accused of having over $9 million worth of stolen stuff from big box retailers.
This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The gun deer season in Wisconsin is heading into its final weekend. A proposed bill in the state legislature aims to curb the spread of chronic wasting disease. Democratic Representative Katrina Shankland is proposing $2 million for carcass disposal sites and $100,000 to teach hunters about the brain wasting disease and why it's important to dispose of carcasses properly. Today's a big day in Greendale. The high school band is marching in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City. The Greendale Band is one of just six high school bands from around the country to have the honor this year. It's the second time the Marching Panthers are appearing in the Macy's Parade. The last time was in 2016. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. 28 today, under clear skies, northwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. 18 tonight, cloudy, highs around 30 tomorrow. A dusting of snow, Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 12.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
1670 AM, The Zone. Hang on to your tractors. Here's another update. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
All righty, back at it after a little bit of a Thanksgiving break. Hope you enjoyed yours. Morning, everybody. Fabulous farm babe Pam Youngke. Tickled to have you along with us. So if you're headed out for the Christmas tree harvest today, back into the deer stands to continue the hunt, or maybe just continuing to try to take care of chores either around the farm or your backyard, weather today is going to cooperate. A little cooler than it was on Thanksgiving. Today we'll see partly sunny skies, 32 degrees. Tomorrow, more clouds than sun and 35. Then Saturday night into Sunday, it looks like we've got a better chance of rain. 35 are expected high on Sunday. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist is going to waddle to the microphone with us this morning. He'll have weather details on the way. And today we travel to Outagamie County to celebrate another farm family that's managed to keep it together in the family for more than 150 years. Stephanie Hoff taking us to Outagamie County to celebrate the sesquicentennial celebration of the Lammy family. Stick around.
You're grateful for all the ways technology can connect us. Unfortunately, there are online scammers who want to take advantage. Malicious viruses, phishing scams, and identity theft are more prevalent than ever. That's why Rural Mutual includes cybersecurity protection as an option on every policy.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Protovate Nutritional Seed Enhancer is an 80-20 talc graphite replacement that provides the critical nutrients corn and soybeans need for early and uniform emergence. Learn more at getgreatergrowth.com.
Farmers face many challenges, including unpredictable weather, pests, and market fluctuations. But to help handle these, farmers turn to their local crop insurance agents for help. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Jenny Brown is the multi-peril specialist team leader for Rural Mutual Insurance, and she says that delays in harvest schedules and that looming December 10th deadline for the end of insurance coverage are just some of the biggest concerns that she's hearing from farmers. However, she says that we still have time and expect things to be on track soon.
The biggest one we're getting right now, it's concern about, are they going to be able to get their crop out of the field in time? And it's, I know we're behind schedule on harvest, but we have a lot of time. You know, we've got November, we've got December. And the end of insurance for grain, corn, and soybeans is December 10th. If we're still looking, you know, that there's a lot of crop in the field at that point, then agents are going to be in touch with their insureds and getting field appraisals or having adjusters come out and look at the crop. But I think a lot of people are going to get a lot of the crop off in the next 2 months. I think we'll have some pretty good windows.
With that weather that we've had, it's typical Wisconsin, we've gotten everything, but what were some of those tough decisions that they had to make because of that?
I think some of the tough decisions were, especially this fall, when to harvest, especially with like moisture in corn. It was difficult for silage, you know, trying to get that perfect window, get in there, get it harvested. And even now, especially on the grain corn, I know a lot of people are chomping at the bit to get harvested, but with really high moisture, people really kind of have to look at what it's going to cost them to dry that corn down and if it's worth taking it right away while we've got a good window. I know it's really hard to say, well, you know, wait, we have no idea what the weather's going to do. But if leaving that crop out in the field a little longer is going to bring down that moisture, that might save some people some money on drying. But it's a real, real tough call to make.
What are claim numbers looking like due to that drought and the storm damage that we've had?
Claim numbers are up. We're opening a lot of claims just in case. Yields seem like they've been really all over the board. There's been certainly some losses already, but there's also been some really good yields. Even though we haven't had the moisture out there, there have been some pretty good yields. And people are just, they're opening claims, we're opening claims, just to be sure. And if someone has crop insurance and they think it might be borderline, I would tell everyone, just get a claim open if it's not opened already to be sure. Because the last thing you want is not have a claim open be going over your yields with your agent and then find out, oh, I could have qualified for a little bit of a shallow loss, especially with the revenue protection, because price on corn and beans is down from where it was this spring. Just get those claims open. It never hurts to have that open. It can always be withdrawn, but, you know, better safe than sorry, especially this year with everything being, you know, so just so much fluctuation across the board.
What are you expecting now with corn and soybeans?
The biggest question is going to be, you know, does my revenue protection pay out? Or if I had revenue protection, would it have paid out? What we're seeing, it's really early because we don't have a lot of our final numbers in yet, especially with the delay in harvest. But what we're seeing is some claims that we opened didn't qualify for a strict yield loss, but because of the decline in price, it did kick some people into just a shallow revenue loss. So I think we're going to be seeing a little bit more of that once we get more of those yields in.
If I think that my field isn't looking good, what do you suggest I do? Do I leave a check strip in, or do you advise against that?
If you don't have a claim open already and you think, you know, your field's looking questionable, to call your agent, kind of walk through the scenarios with your agent, but most likely they're just going to open a claim. At this point, check strips, first, they have to be authorized by the insurance company. That your adjuster has to give you permission to leave that check strip and give you all the specifics. But best case is just check with your agent. They're going to walk you through, you know, what's going to make sense for your field, for your policy.
How does Wisconsin compare on a national scale in terms of the weather conditions and how that's affected our farmers?
Kind of the Midwest. I know everyone got in a little bit later than they were planning this spring, and harvest has been delayed. I think typically in the Midwest, we're maybe 60 to 80% harvested by this point. And this year, you know, obviously depending on the state, it's very different. But overall, I think this year we're behind and it's maybe only 40 to 60% harvested. So definitely a delay, but not the worst we've seen by far.
And I know you kind of touched on this already, but what are some of the other things that farmers need to know when it comes to revenue protection and payouts after harvest?
The biggest thing is get your yields to your agent as soon as you have them. In case for some reason a claim wasn't opened or it was missed, just get those yields in so you can figure out with your agent if there is a potential loss. The nice part is getting that in now, you're going to know if you're going to have a payout before the end of the year. But sooner the better, just so we've got all of our bases covered for the year.
When settling up final payments on the crop insurance side of things, what advice do you have if the weather is potentially going to forbid us to harvest certain parts of that field?
If there's parts of the field you're not going to harvest, again, check with your agent. If it's small pocket, depending on how big it is, you might just end up leaving it till spring. A lot of times it's probably not worth hooking the equipment back up or getting back out there, depending on how far away the field is. If it's going to be whole fields, large areas, again, letting your agent know. So if it's going to sit out there over winter, they can have an adjuster come out, do appraisals, because the end of insurance on grain, corn, soybeans is December 10th. So if it's going to sit out there till March, they need to do an appraisal on it. They got to know what those yields are.
With the tough growing season that we've had, are you expecting to have a bit more business for crop insurance next year?
I don't know that there's going to really be a big boost in business. I think a lot of people, you know, who are trying to cover their costs, protect themselves, probably already have insurance in some form or another. There's certainly people who can self-insure and are doing that. I don't know that we're going to see a big boost in business, but, you know, if this year was concerning to anybody, if they didn't have insurance, I would say it's definitely worth at least having that conversation with an agent, just so you know what you're covered for, how it would cover you. So early on, you can decide whether or not that's something to look into for 2024 for a, you know, a coverage.
And it's all about that risk management. And there's so many different tools out there for what you've used 10 years ago might not necessarily be what's best to use this year. So how do you suggest farmers really sit down and take a look at their risk management plan for next year?
I would say start early. We, you know, we typically will start getting together with people January, February of next year. The spring crop insurance deadline is March 15th for corn, beans, but we start tracking price in February. That doesn't mean it's not worth sitting down with your agent in January. If you kind of know what some of your expenses are going to be, You know, especially if everybody's prepaying for fertilizer, seed. If you know what your costs are going to be going into 2024, you can at least start having those conversations with your agent about, you know, here's what I'm figuring I need to cover cost per acre wise. And depending on what those prices are coming in at, you know, what level of coverage do I need to be at to cover myself? And it doesn't necessarily have to cover 100% of your costs either. If you're, you know, comfortable, you know, only covering a portion of those costs, then that can determine what coverage level kind of makes sense for you too.
And talking about 2024, what do I, if I'm a farmer, have to think about?
As far as, you know, what they want to be going through with their agent, March 15th is the big deadline for the coverage. So if you want to cover those corn or those beans, which obviously any fields you don't have anything planted in, that's potential for putting corn or beans in, you know, definitely talk to your agent. If you're adding new land that's never been in your operation before, also talk to your agent about that, because different scenarios might apply for that land too. Biggest thing is just know your costs. Know what you got to cover per acre so you can kind of plan ahead for that to make sure you've got that covered in a way that makes you comfortable, whether it's crop insurance or, you know, marketing, whatever it is, to make sure that those costs are covered if we had a catastrophic year. I think some people may be frustrated this year with crop insurance because we felt like we had a really bad year, you know, precipitation-wise, weather-wise, it wasn't great. But in a lot of cases, the yields actually are there. So I think some people might be frustrated with crop insurance not necessarily paying out. But the big thing to remember is you don't want to collect on crop insurance just like you don't want to collect on farm insurance every year. You don't want your buildings to burn. You don't want your crops to fail, because if you don't collect on crop insurance, it means you yielded really well and you're able to make money off of that crop. So whatever decisions they need to make for the 2024 crop year, it's never too early to start thinking about those.
That was Jenny Brown, multi-peril specialist team leader for Rural Mutual Insurance. As the current harvest season unfolds, she encourages farmers to look ahead and start having conversations now about next year to really prepare for that March 15th deadline. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hi, we're the Google.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Grow and learn.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Hunger is a heartbreaking
connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Equivalent to 8 syringes.
Kids in need in your
as long as your treatment is performed by a skilled medical professional,
brought to you by
you should have
America
the natural-looking results
Council.
You desire.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
Visit us at rejuvenationclinicofsaukprairie.com.
If your workout includes baling hay and pitching pens, then you'll be comfortable right here. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Alrighty, it looks like it's going to remain dry on a Friday. Time to find out about the rest of our weather details. Compure Financial Ag Friday Update. Stu Mocker, Ag Meteorologist, joining us for our weather update. You know, I was mentioning earlier, It's going to stay dry today. Maybe you want to go out to the deer stand, try it again, or harvest that Christmas tree. Think about maybe more work around the barnyard or even in the backyard. I completely forgot that today is Black Friday. Obviously, I am not a big shopper or excited about all the big deals, but what about your households, Stu? Katie and Jane going to take it to town for a little Black Friday shopping, or are they going to pester you into more honeydew projects in the backyard?
There was planning last night, Pam. I don't know if that's going to work out. I haven't seen any movement from either of them yet this morning. You never know. For me, it's another work day. It's Friday. Stuff to get done, chores to do, and customers that need some service. Well, that's what's going on, and that's what goes on in the farm. Black Friday, that's great. Yeah, we've got cattle to take care of. We've got equipment to do. There's maybe some corn to harvest around here. It all means we're working yet as we head through this holiday, Black Friday, and on into the weekend. The weather cooperates. Yes, a little cool. Certainly we stayed on the cool side yesterday. We're not going to suddenly warm it up in a big hurry today either. High pressure is sliding right in out of the northwest, and I really expect that with this high pressure system nearby, some cool air is going to hold on. There will be some sunshine. That's all well and good, but we stay cooler. In fact, in some cases, almost 10 degrees cooler than yesterday. So it does feel a bit more wintry. Probably going to put a little move in your step if you're out shopping, because it's going to seem kind of cold going from the stores back to the vehicle. No big changes coming up, although a weak front does try to swing in from the northwest. Moisture builds up out of the south as well, and especially in southern Wisconsin, a chance of a little snow may be something that pops up by quite late Saturday night or into Sunday morning. I just don't expect it to be a big event. Very light snow if we see it, but a small chance that may very well pop up just to wrap up the weekend. Temperatures not only today, but Saturday and Sunday just don't skyrocket. They stay cooler than normal. Remember, the normals now should be in the low 40s, 41, 42 degrees. We're talking mid-30s at best this weekend. And even though there will be some sun today, more clouds as we look towards Saturday and into Sunday. Oh, we cleared out a bit heading on toward Monday, but some reinforcing cold air behind that system with the chance of snow may mean that Monday's temps will struggle to break 30. Upper 20s, a cold get-back-to-work day for a lot of folks after a long weekend. On the farm, another day of some cold air to deal with. We'll have to be ready. Otherwise, no big changes after that. In fact, right through the end of November, it still looks to me to be on the dry and cool side, generally with a fair amount of sunshine heading on into next week. But that colder temperature pattern will indeed continue. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Innovation.
Freeing up your time for the holidays is at the top of our list. When you choose BioVet microbial and nutritional products to keep your livestock out of the sick pen and healthy, you'll enjoy more time with your family this holiday season. Many thanks and warm wishes from our BioVet family to yours. Learn more about how BioVet can save you time and money on your farm by calling 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Always up early. Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update is for sunny skies on this Black Friday. A cool day, though, in the very low 30s, and the north winds will be around 5 to 10. A few more clouds develop overnight, but we still get cool, down around 20 or just in the very low 20s. Could be an upper teen toward La Crosse or Mauston. Northwest winds at 5 become west a bit later in the night. Mostly cloudy skies develop Saturday, and I still expect to push up toward the mid-30s, 34. West winds will be around 5 late Saturday night into Sunday. A small chance for some very light snow or a stray snow shower. Mostly cloudy skies, clearing from west to east later in the day on Sunday, so it should brighten up a bit. Still only around 34, or low 30s, if you will. Southwest winds get stronger on Sunday, 5 to 15, even gusting to 25. So, Pam, just got to get back to work. That's how it works around here. Hopefully you have a good time with the rest of your holiday weekend unfolding.
Appreciate the details, Stu. Not at all surprised about your plans for the extended weekend. Enjoy it. All right, Stu Mocker, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner, be it agriculture or rural America. They're there for you. Find great resources and where you can look an office near you, all online at Compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches.
Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. Anticipation for the release of the hostages Hamas seized when it launched its attack on Israel almost 2 months ago. ABC's Liz Landers.
Israeli officials announcing that a ceasefire began this morning. Qatari officials expect the first hostages to be released a few hours later. The initial group released by Hamas will be 13 women and children in exchange for Palestinian prisoners. The deal will last 4 days. The deal also includes passage for humanitarian aid trucks.
It's Black Friday, and police are trying to crack down on organized retail theft this holiday season. ABC's Alex Stone reports.
It's become an epidemic nationwide. Organized retail theft, stealing from big box and department stores, with a group grabbing what they can and running out before police can arrive. Just this week, the California Highway Patrol arrested a couple accused of having over $9 million worth of stolen stuff from big box retailers.
This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The gun deer season in Wisconsin is heading into its final weekend. A proposed bill in the state legislature aims to curb the spread of chronic wasting disease. Democratic Representative Katrina Shankland is proposing $2 million for carcass disposal sites and $100,000 to teach hunters about the brain wasting disease and why it's important to dispose of carcasses properly. Today's a big day in Greendale. The high school band is marching in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City. The Greendale Band is one of just six high school bands from around the country to have the honor this year. It's the second time the Marching Panthers are appearing in the Macy's Parade. The last time was in 2016. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Here's your updated forecast. 28 today, under clear skies, northwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. 18 tonight, cloudy, highs around 30 tomorrow. A dusting of snow, Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 12.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes... Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbus Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons. Some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are. But we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station, the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Now, I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mullen. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field. What the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill. And I'll admit, I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Receivers will all be on the field, and that's really going to be their path to scoring points.
Roses are red, violets are blue, and you bet she'll be talking farming with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Just a little different tempo here on the farm show when I'm working remotely. This morning, for some reason, my two pups can't stay sleeping, so they're playing around with mom's feet, so I apologize in advance. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, glad to be along with you on this Black Friday for you shoppers. Well, kind of like Stu Muck said, we are going to stay pretty dry from here into next week. Kind of tie a knot and hang on. Sunshine on the way today, 32. Tomorrow, clouds and 35. Sunday, mostly cloudy, 35, and about a 24% chance of rain or snow on Sunday. Then Monday, 31. Tuesday, 35. Wednesday, 36. Thursday, 39. By Friday of next week, our temperatures bounce back up into the 40s. Hey, I tell you, I'll take that. All right. Glad you're along with us on this, the 24th day of November. On this day in 1824, Frederick Miller was born. He was born in Wurttemberg, Germany in 1824. In 1854, he moved to Milwaukee. In 1855, he purchased the Plank Road Brewery, operated that business until 1888 when it was incorporated into the Frederick Miller Brewing Company. Miller stayed president till he died in 1888. And obviously, that was the beginning of Miller Brewing. On this day in 1959, I-90, Interstate 90, opened for traffic between Janesville and Beloit. Work was temporarily stopped north of Janesville as the exact routes weren't determined and property hadn't been acquired. But on this date, it officially opened at least for a little stretch of I-90 between Janesville and Beloit. 1959. On this day in 1877, Black Beauty was published, that epic novel about a horse called Black Beauty. Man, I remember that book like it was yesterday. On this day in 1963, Lee Harvey Oswald was shot after he assassinated JFK. And then on this day, 1971, hijacking of Northwest Orient Airline 305. Crazy how that one turned out, huh? D.B. Cooper, Dan Cooper, hijacked the plane coming out of Seattle. He wanted to go on to Mexico, wanted another refueled plane ready to go. Instead, he jumped out of the airplane in a parachute over some part of Washington State, had a bunch of money in his backpack, never found him again. How about that? That was on this day back in 1971, and now you know. Well, we want you to know that despite the fact that business officially wrapped up down at the state capitol on Tuesday, there are still a lot of discussions going on, a lot of committee work that's happening. I talked about it with Representative Todd Novak, who is from the 51st Assembly District. Right now, one of the items that he's talking about is designed to bring rural beautification to our small communities with an angle of ag tourism. It's called the Creative Arts Grant Program for Rural Wisconsin. And he told me a little bit more about how he sees it playing out to benefit rural communities.
Yeah, it all got started because I'm in the 51st Assembly District, which is just west of Madison. I've got Monroe and that kind of area. I've got like Taliesin and Mineral Point, which is very arts and stuff. And what we found out is that it draws a lot of tourists to our rural area. But in big cities and stuff, you know, when they want to promote something or build a museum or whatever, they have some millionaire or billionaire that donates $100 million and they build a big building and put pictures into it. But we have nothing out of there. So I developed a grant for its $50,000 per recipient in communities less than 20,000 people. And it has to be matched. So there has to be a community match to it. And it's just a remote area. I kind of did this, 2016, the Mineral Arts Center wanted to add an addition onto their arts center. It's an old church, beautiful place. And they talked to me, and I actually wrote a grant in the budget for them for $250,000 at the time Governor Walker signed it, and it had to be a matching grant. They raised went up to $2 million by the time they raised the money, and they were able to build their addition. So that's kind of where I got this idea, and we want to do it statewide.
So it is all about, like you said, bringing arts to rural communities, and that you believe would have maybe an impact on something like ag tourism.
Absolutely, and we're seeing more and more tourism, you know. So they're coming out here, they're going to Taliesin, and just down the road, let's for example, there's a pottery place out in the middle of the country on a farm. You know, and we've got, you know, now you see more and more farm stands popping up on these farms and stuff for sale. So it just, you want to get people in your community to see what's there. And so it kind of, they all piggyback off each other. So that's the idea of it. So it's kind of interesting. We'll see if we can get it through. We had a hearing on it. It sounds like I'm going to get it through the committee, and we'll get it on the floor in the assembly. Mm-hmm. And as you alluded to, we're done until January, but we aren't. Mm-hmm. This is when a lot of committee work happens and stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. Wisconsin Representative Todd Novak representing the 51st Assembly District, so it's called the Creative Arts Rural Grant Program, wants to provide up to $40,000 for grants to rural communities so they can put together some of their own artwork to offset their community and draw in, hopefully, visitors from outside the area. Now, that's just one of the pieces of legislation he's working on, and like you said, although they did conclude official business on Tuesday, committee work is still going to be pressing forward. Some of the other areas that they're looking at, foreign-owned land in Wisconsin. What are we going to do about that? Water Quality Task Force bringing forward some ideas on supporting transition to grazing. So the work is not done down at the state capitol, despite the fact that we're kind of in a long holiday mode. All right, coming up next, like I said, long holiday mode. Dairy is already done trading for the week, but we'll take a look at what happened with the grain market on Wednesday. Wasn't a good thing, and I'll give you another recap on dairy before we head to Stephanie Hoff, who's going to introduce us to a family in Outagamie County that's had their farm in the family for more than 150 years. Full Friday right here.
Celebrate our century and sesquicentennial farms across Wisconsin. There is a growing list of farms that have been family-owned or operated for over 100 or 150 years. You can find out about them all year long thanks to our friends at Compeer Financial. Meet the families, hear their stories, and take a trip down memory lane by logging onto MidwestFarmReport.com. New farms are featured each Friday on our morning show. Celebrate century and sesquicentennial farms with the Midwest Farm Report.
It's as simple as 1, 2, 3, friends. Buy your farm and ranch trucks from a certified agriculture dealership. Get $30,000 back in farm supply savings through AgPack. That's a 60% return on a $50,000 truck. Just go to agtrucktrader.com, register for your unique AgPack ID number, good to use at any certified ag dealer in the country for as many trucks as you want, and then search the inventory of only certified ag dealers all in one spot, agtrucktrader.com.
All right, like I said, markets have concluded as far as the dairy trade is concerned for this week. On Wednesday, barrel cheese dropped a penny and a half to 149 and a half. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny at 159, but double-A butter closed a penny and a quarter higher at 253. Now, as far as the fluid milk contracts were concerned, December milk down two at 1638. January milk down a nickel, 1647. On Wednesday, the December corn contract closed a penny lower, 468 and three quarters. January soybeans were down 20 and three quarter cents to 1356 and a half. The March beans were down 18 and three quarter cents to 1374. The wheat for July, that was up a penny and three quarters, closed on Wednesday, 612 and a quarter. Now, they are going to be trading today in Chicago, but I'm going to guess that the volume is going to be incredibly light. Boy, the meeting season is just around the corner. One that I don't want you to miss is coming up on Tuesday, November 28th at the Sheraton Hotel, west side of Madison. It's the annual Dairy Insights Conference hosted by Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin. This is one that I personally do not want to miss every year. It focuses in on consumer-related questions they have about agriculture and where their food comes from and how we're addressing it specifically as the dairy industry with dairy products. Processors. Next Tuesday, November 28th at the Sheraton Hotel, starts at 9 a.m. Register today, pdpw.org.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
A special day made just for you. Maybe you paid off the mortgage, finished a marathon, left the dork who couldn't see you for the amazing person you are. It's different for everyone, but it's a day that needs celebrating. With a custom piece to bring a Mona Lisa smile to your face.
William Thomas Custom Jewelry. Your inspiration, your custom jeweler.
For all of you that had your first date riding around a field in a tractor cab, this is the Midwest Farm Report.
Here on the Midwest Farm Report, we're celebrating farms and homesteads that have been in the same family for more than 100 or 150 years. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and the conversation I'm sharing with you today is from an interview with Larry Lammy. Larry's family has been farming for more than 100 years near Seymour in Outagamie County. He tells me what it meant to him to get the Centennial Farm Award this year.
It's special that my family's been in it for 100 years. I mean, my grandpa started it, and then my dad and me. And actually, this was reservation land at one time, or it still is. But it was bought from the Oneidas that were here. And from a lot of different sources, the bank had it, and other people had the land. It was.
Can you tell me about the early years on the farm, Larry, when your grandpa first started?
Grandpa had worked for the neighbor, and they had a big farm that was about a section. He had a chance of managing that farm, but there was no way he would ever get into ownership of it. It was too big for him. Down the road, a mile, was land available. It was 10 acres and a real small house. And they bought that first, and then they added on over the years, built barns and all other outbuildings and that. He continued to still work at that time for the neighbor as he was building up the farm.
How long did it take him to get to farming just on his own?
This is just guessing, but I think it was over about 15 years that he built the barn, and actually a heifer barn. Actually, there was two barns that they built over 15 years, and they added on to the small house a couple times. A lot of the lumber they used to build the barn was lumber that they had cleared of our land that we accumulated The size of the farm is 188 acres, and there's right now about 180 cleared, and most of the land, about 170 acres, was all cleared by hand by my grandpa and my uncle and my dad.
Any of those buildings still on the land?
One barn is still here yet. The old house, actually my son lives in the old house, and that's still here yet. Most of the other buildings are torn down, and a garage that they have built, that's still here yet.
So your grandpa, did he start then in dairy?
Yeah, I started out in dairy, and the way they would do it, they in the middle of the woods, they clear a patch in wintertime, 3-4 acres, and then over the winter, and then by the next summer, they have that cleared, and then they planted it in corn or oats, and that's how they started out slowly. They had like 300-400 laying hens, and they would take that the eggs to Seymour and sell them to the grocery stores and stuff like that. And that's all my great-grandma got money. And then they had like every farmer had them days, a few cows, a few pigs. And
now how did that change when your dad took over?
It didn't change a lot when my dad took over. The time my dad took over, they had about 30 cows. And at the time that I took over, we didn't gain that much. We just had 40 cows, but we used to have pigs and chickens and that. And that pretty well went by the wayside at the end of my dad's time in farming. Except we still had, that's all I have left is 25 chickens.
Do you remember hearing of any big events that happened on the farm, whether it's a weather event, it was the Depression or war?
When my grandpa started farming, he started farming up in Crandon, mainly because that's where my grandma was born, up in Crandon. And he went broke up there. If you know Crandon area, it's all stones. And he went broke drilling a well because he had to go so deep. And then he moved to Seymour, and they built a little barn northwest of Seymour, a couple miles. And then they had a new thrash machine in the barn, and the barn got hit by lightning and burnt down, and they lost the new thrash machine, and Grandpa went broke again. And then he started to work for somebody else. It was the Keeney family. They were big-time cattle dealers in the area at one time, so he worked the farm for them. I don't know how many years that he worked there, and then he decided to start something on his own. Like when my dad took over, my dad had polio when he was 19, and so he had to walk with a limp, and in later years he had to have a cane. But he would farm. I would help dad. Dad loved to rake hay, and I would help him and give him a boost on the tractor so he could rake hay when he was getting older and getting harder for him. But so he had us. My mother did a lot of work on the farm and helped dad. She was did this as much as my dad did. She was a hard worker.
So I want you to talk about growing up on the farm. Not many people get that experience anymore. What was it like? What were some fond memories you have growing up?
I was out when I was 5-6 years old. I was out in the barn. I was sweeping hay into the cows and stuff. I was out there. Well, they needed me. I sometimes think that's why they had me, because they needed me. And I worked out there, and I enjoyed it. And there was only me and my sister. There was only two kids in our family, so we didn't have a big family. And the only time I got to take the car to high school was when my dad wanted me home to pick stones at night. And I was pretty well dedicated to the farm because I couldn't do a lot of sports because they needed me. My life was pretty dedicated to the farm, but we enjoyed it. We enjoyed farm life. And after haying and a hard day of haying in the summer, we'd go down to the A&W at night and have a root beer or ice cream float or something like that. So we enjoyed ourselves.
So what is the farm today?
Well, it's mainly cash crop today. And I rent about 150 acres out to the neighbor. And actually, that neighbor is the one where my grandpa started out, that family, and it's the Schomburg family. I rent that, and then I keep about 20-25 acres that I cash crop on my own just for the sake of working the land. I enjoy working the land, and I wanted to not be out of farming totally. But we still own all the land yet, and we have no plans on selling the land. Actually, my one son, if it's all possible, he'd like to own the farm someday, but being that it's so expensive to own it, I don't know if that will ever happen, but hopefully it does.
That's a portion of my conversation with Larry Lammy, one of the Centennial Farm Award winners this year. Larry is the third generation on the family farm in Seymour, Wisconsin. We're featuring these Centennial and Sesquicentennial farms with you at MidwestFarmReport.com, and that's where you can find interviews with the honorees, including this one, brought to you courtesy of Compeer Financial. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A booster shot for local farm marketing programs today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Cab to cab, season to season, there's only one way to do it all on your farm, Ag Leader It. Ag Leader offers the complete package of precision farming tools that connect your entire operation year-round. Planter, Ag Leader It. Sprayer, Ag Leader It. Combine, Ag Leader It. Farm data? You guessed it, Ag Leader It. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com for more information. The U.S. Department of Agriculture recently announced grants totaling $32 million to expand and strengthen local and regional food systems and increase the availability of locally grown ag products. Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs Jenny Moffitt says the grants will support 98 projects across the country involved in the local agriculture market program.
LAMP is a bundle of different programs that was established in the 2018 Farm Bill. And each of these programs has a specific focus, and all of them are supporting local and regional food systems.
Moffitt says programs that will benefit from the grants include farmers market promotions, local food programs, and regional food systems partnerships.
Whether that is direct to farmers markets and through farmers markets or through community supported agriculture, those CSA food boxes that people will buy, or directly to institutions like farm to hospital, farm to school, farm to food bank, and then also selling to restaurants and grocery stores in the region. So it's really about shortening that supply chain and a shortened supply chain between farm all the way to consumer.
For more information, there's a link on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. The ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is holding. It's a four-day truce, and as ABC's Jordana Miller says, hostages taken in the October 7th attack will be released.